This camp is special for a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons that this camp is so incredibly special is because it gives us an opportunity to gather as one church. Now, I recognize that the 11 o'clock doesn't work for everybody. There's people that always complain, you know, that work at 11 on Sundays, and so they only can come to the 9. So I recognize it's not every single person, but it is one opportunity in the year, other than Christmas, where we can gather as one church and really as one family. My favorite part of today is that normally I get to speak a 9 and 11, two 40-minute sermons. So today I just get to do one 80-minute. So I'm really excited about that. Really excited. No, I'm just kidding. But in truth, family is what the camp is about. And the cool part now, having done this for 15 years, I've been doing full-time vocational ministry for 15 years. And so I am no longer naive that when I say family, that what I'm thinking is what you're thinking. Now, it doesn't take away from the reality that today is about family, but it definitely allows some level of sensitivity and even discussion behind the word family, because the truth is all of us grew up in a different kind of family. Some of us grew up in beautiful families. Camping like this brings back tons of warm memories. All you do is smile all camp long, even inside all the politics and all the stuff, and even in some of the snafus, you just smile because you remember when you were 11 and your dad was a camp leader and a pastor, and we did family camp every year. I love this. Some of you didn't ever do anything like this at all, and to you, this is utter chaos. This is absolutely ridiculous, and all you want to do is shower, and you've only been here for 20 minutes. That's true. Some of you, when I say the word family, you're sad, not because your family was overly dysfunctional, but because your family's no longer here. You've lost a lot of them, and so you feel alone. And then some of you, when I say the word family, you just straight up cringe. You just straight up cringe because those are the people that you come here to avoid. You think I don't know, but I do. Family is a very sensitive word. Family is more than a word, though. Family is an idea. It's an idea that was created by God. Genesis 1:28 is God speaking to the first, the true first family, and it says that God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." In essence, become a family. "Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every other living creature that moves on the ground." That's why we do family camp. We're going back to the garden, trying to rule over all the creatures that tried to sneak in some of your tents last night, I heard. Family is something that's part of God's plan, not just part of God's plan for humanity, but actually part of God's plan for creation. Can you imagine that? God created trees, God created rivers, God created creatures, God created man and wife, and God created family inside that creation to rule over it. Family is a backbone of this creation, or in truth, it's supposed to be. For example, two of the Ten Commandments deals with maintaining the cohesiveness of the family. The fifth commandment regarding honoring parents is meant to preserve the authority of parents in family matters. Just lost every youth student in the room right now. They're like, "I'm done. I thought he was cool, but he's not." Honoring parents is something we don't talk about much anymore. As a church body that's gathering together as a family, it's something we should continue to highlight as it's part of God's creation. The seventh commandment is prohibiting adultery, and it protects the sanctity of marriage. It protects the idea of two people coming together and creating something beyond themselves that they serve outside themselves. Family is something much bigger than just a camp or church mode. Family is something that God creates, and not just in the Old Testament. The New Testament makes many of the same commands and prohibitions. Jesus speaks on the sanctity of marriage and against frivolous divorce in Matthew 19. The Apostle Paul talks about what Christian homes should look like when he gives the twin commandments of children. Again, obey your parents. And yet he then says, parents, don't provoke your children. This is Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Family is a biblical thing. and we should talk about family that way. But to be honest, what I see in church right now, at least in our church, is we talk about marriage a lot. We talk about individual relationship with God a lot. We talk about children's ministry. We talk about men's ministry. We talk about women's ministry. And then we gather every single year, and we highlight family in the midst of that. And I met with my team, and we started thinking about this, and we started realizing that really, outside of those ministries, we should be building family ministries. Now, this is what church has taught us to do over the years. I grew up in an amazing youth ministry. My parents only went on 2 retreats all of my youth ministry. It's just how church is structured. We sit back and we watch our kids in their student ministries, or we watch our moms in their women's ministries, or we watch our men's in their men's ministries, and they're beautiful things, and they're important things. But really, in truth, if I was to be honest, as the pastor of Kessed Church, this is the primary avenue that we get together to celebrate family. And I realized yesterday, as my exhausted daughter climbed in our trailer and then into our bed, and as she laid on my chest and said, "I sure love you, Dad," I realized yesterday we should probably highlight this a little bit more than just once a year. And so I start off my talk today with a confession and a promise. It's always good when a pastor does that, isn't it? My confession is that I probably haven't done a good enough job highlighting the family unit as I could have. My promise is to change that. As a dad, as a husband, as a pastor, and as a man, I want to highlight what it means to be a part of God's family and to serve together and to worship together and to do ministry together. Do you know this service right here, they say is one of the hardest services to do because it has children in it and children can't relate? Seems like our children are relating just fine right now, doesn't it? Because they're sitting with their parents and they're listening and they're engaged in worship. I watch kids back here worshiping with their parents. How amazing is that? We need to not just make this a once-a-year event. We need to make it part of who we are. It's quite clear that the Lord, our God, the creator of this place, is also the creator of families. But let's not just look at the physical family now, because as I said, the physical family has lots of different avenues, lots of different ways of thinking about it. But let's sit just for a minute and think instead about the theological family. During Jesus' 3 years in his ministry here on earth, he shattered some of the prevailing notions of what it meant to be a part of a family. And he did so probably most poignantly in Matthew 12:46-50. And it says that Jesus was teaching and he was sharing and people were gathering around him and they were getting close to him and people started to feel accepted and people started to feel loved. And so people went and found other people who didn't feel accepted and loved. And people said, "You found a place where you belong?" And they said, "Yes, and it's through the teaching of this guy. You got to come hear him." And so a crowd gathered, perhaps a lot like this, of a whole bunch of people who wanted to be accepted and loved. And it says that while Jesus was talking to the crowd like this, his mother and brother stood outside, and they wanted to speak to him. And someone told him this, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And he replied to that who was speaking, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, Jesus was not dismissing his mother and his brother. What he was doing is making the clear theological point that in the kingdom of heaven, the most important family above all else is the spiritual one, not the physical one. So for all of those in the room right here that have a disconnect when it comes to the word family, that's just a disconnect when it comes to the word physical family, which we hope, as I said, as a church, to highlight better, to bring better connection, to bring better healing, to bring to speaking better truth into that idea, into that physical idea of what is a family. But the reality is that God knew that the physical disconnect of family would always be troublesome. It would always be a wheel not quite round. It would always roll in an awkward way. And so he comes to earth with this message of the gospel, and he proclaims to the broken physical body, to the broken physical world, and to the broken physical family that I am going to supersede all that you knew that was and create something new and above that. And so he then speaks to the spiritual family. This is a truth made explicitly clear in John's gospel when the evangelist says this, John 1:12-13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, listen to this, to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This is what it means to be a part of the heavenly spiritual family. And there is nothing oblong about the heavenly spiritual family. There is no brokenness about the heavenly spiritual family. There is a simple truth. There is one God who is Father who accepts his children that feel disconnect from this world around them in a way that brings healing and purpose to their life. If you have spent your whole life running from your broken, busted family, trying to create your own not broken, busted family, I'm here to tell you, I will never in this world create a family as healthy and as strong as the spiritual one God is the Father and head of household over. Ever. I don't care how diligent I am. I don't care if I read those really cool James Dobson stories to my kids every single night. I don't care if I do Bible studies and dinner prayer. I don't care if I myself, Jesse himself, leads worship to every kid in every room before they go to bed till they're 40. Right? How awkward would that be, right? Malia and her husband just in bed like, really? And Jesse's like, hey, Malia, hey, husband. All right, here we go. Our God is greater. Right? I mean, just spiritual fervor, just excited about his kids. He will never, I will never, you will never create a family as beautiful and holistic and accepting as the spiritual family that God brings to you. There's just something beautiful about what God does. There's something beautiful about the people God brings into your life. There's something beautiful about meeting a sister you didn't even know you had spiritually. I bumped into a family right here during the movie last night. I don't know where they are. Sat down next to them. I said, hey, what's up? This guy said, hey, man, what's up? Introduced me to their three kids. Right, introduced me to his wife, and instantly, because of Christ, we have a connection, and we can have a conversation about what God has done in their life, what God has done in my life, what God's doing in their son's life, what God's doing around camp. Instantly, I know these people from nothing, and they're instantly brothers and sisters because of Jesus who supersedes both of our brokenness. See, this is the thing the world calls magic about the gospel. This is the thing that they do not understand. This is the thing that they try to replicate through sex and drugs and experience and promises. This full acceptance, this full knowing of another person that you can never ever have without the Holy Spirit and his tie that he brings between two souls that he's uniting as family. That's what this special place is about. We were born physically into a physical family. But when we are born again through the story of Jesus Christ, we are born into a spiritual family that we can never be torn from. That's what Jesus came to do. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus originally came and he created man and woman, and he breathed into them the idea that they were to create a family. And man and woman threw their family into the gutter, like a lot of us have. They shattered it through poor decisions. They weren't the parents they wanted to be. They weren't he wasn't the husband, she wasn't the wife they wanted to be. And so creation fell alongside them. And then Christ comes back, and then what does he breathe back into us? That we are brothers and sisters, that he is a father, that we can have the family we were supposed to have again. This is the story of the gospel. It's a story of family. And it's a story of people who weren't accepted anywhere else, even by the ones who created them, even sometimes by the ones they created, and people who could gather and through the Holy Spirit and his binding could find peace and hope and acceptance and love. There's one little thing I'll tell you about this church. It's a really special thing. It's something we talk about a lot. It's something that I'm beginning to accept more and more and more. This church is so incredibly messed up. I mean like messed up, right? Like I have discussions with people sometimes that if it was recorded, I don't even know if I keep my job. Like there's things that I'm just looking at them like, what? Like this cannot be happening here. This church is so utterly sideways. Utterly sideways. And you're thinking, okay, what's the catch? There's no catch. It's just utterly sideways. It took us 3 years. 3 years as a church just to finish our bylaws. Because have you ever done bylaws, like from the beginning? Horrid. Horrid. Right? Then, once we actually finished the bylaws, we were all so exhausted as elders that for the next 6 months, I'm pretty sure we just got together and ate chicken. I mean, we had discussions and we put things into place, but the reality is that we truly, in and of ourselves, are just average people in an average place, and yet here's what continues to happen at every service, at every family camp, at every Christmas celebration. The Holy Spirit shows up, rights all the wrongs, smooths out all the rough, speaks into the hearts of people, uses this messed up person to speak to these messed up people, and afterwards we all connect in some way and go, ha, that was cool. That was amazing. I mean, Jesse gets up here and sings a song and people stand up. I'm looking around, right? I know Jesse. Jesse's messed up. Jesse? Yeah? You're right back there. He knows it. He knows it, right? And yet he gets on stage with his friends, picks up a guitar, and next thing you know, he's like a 6'2" angel. It's just like, ooh. Everybody's like, I love Jesse. I'm like, but I know you. I get up here, I speak, and I share the words of God, and people respond to it. And then I go back, and I ask my wife, you know, how'd I do? And she's like, that was amazing. I wish you could, you know, do that every day of your life. I share this not to share that we're not trying. I share this not to share that we're not putting our best effort forward. I share this to be honest with you and say that no matter how much effort, no matter how much discipline, the only reason this family exists like it does, the only reason Jesse can worship an amazing God, the only reason I can preach about an amazing God is because we have an amazing God who shows up. Who shows up and smooths out all of our rough edges. Who breathes life into our brokenness like he did to that room of people and accepts us as his spiritual family. If you have problems with another brother or sister in Christ, I'm here to tell you, ask God what to do about that. Resolve that issue. If you have problems with a church, probably a different church, probably not this church, but another church that you're visiting from. Ask God how to walk with you through that experience to show you how you fit in that family. If you have problems with a wife, well, probably none of us do. It's probably more wives having problems with husbands, amen? Right, probably more just a one direction kind of thing. Ask God honestly. I want you to think about this. If the spiritual family reigns above the physical, then maybe when you look at your husband or you look at your spouse and you have this feeling, right? Don't pretend like you've never had that feeling. Don't pretend, especially camping, right? I mean, some of you popped out of your tents and I had that feeling. Like I was like, woo, right? Let's go do something with that, right? That kind of a situation, right? Like you, when you have that feeling, here's a thought. When you're seeing your kids and you go, God, you just cringe because of the decisions they make. When you see your physical family and you just can't get beyond decisions being made, do you know that this is when, even with your physical family, even with your church family, that you can rise above that into the spiritual place and ask God to see them as your brother and your sister in Christ? I want to see my wife as my sister in Christ, as someone created by him to be beautiful with her own calling and her own purpose and her own value outside of us. I want to see my daughter as a sister in Christ, my son as a brother in Christ, something created by God, blessed by me to physically father, but created by God so that I can be in relationship with for the rest of our lives. We can use this to our advantage to meld with one another in a way that is more intimate than any physical family ever could if we can respond to the Holy Spirit's calling to be together and to serve. There's a lot of people that only see their spouses as physical family, and that's why physical families fall apart. You need to see each other as spiritual family, something that the Holy Spirit brings together, and that this world, according to our Bible, can never tear apart. There's one defining characteristic of the spiritual family, and this is what I'll close with as the worship team comes back up. It's in John 13, 34 through 35, and this is what it says. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is what it means to be a part of a spiritual family. It means loving one another. It means connecting with one another in a way that is more than just a trip out into the woods, that is more than just going to the grocery store, that is more than dinner every night. It means truly, through the Holy Spirit's leading, loving another person more than yourself. If we as a church body could learn to love one another in the spiritual way, there would be nothing that could stop this little messed up church from accomplishing all that God has intended for it to accomplish. Nothing. Not physical brokenness, not physical ailments, not poor decisions or poor leadership. Nothing could stop this body from accomplishing the thing God wants it to accomplish if we could see each other, including our spouses and our children, how God wants us to see each other in the spiritual way as brothers and sisters united by Him to accomplish something amazing. This is what God asks from us. That we love one another, that we serve one another, that we walk with one another, no matter what it takes, no matter where it leads, that we give and we give and we give, and that we find purpose in that life. Some of you in this room, you want to be a part of that family. You have stood outside the door of the message of Jesus Christ your entire life. You've passed down the street and seen gatherings like this. You've always wondered, I wonder what those people are talking about. I wonder why those people are clamoring to get in. Those people don't even know each other. They're not even related. And yet they sit side by side with arms around one another. They help each other like family. They don't even know one another. They give and they serve and they connect. You've passed by opportunities like this your entire life without ever taking a moment to hear the message. And so today, I'm going to share with you what's always been shared inside these moments for thousands of years. There was a brokenness inside you and inside me, a brokenness that keeps me from being all that God has intended for me to be. This brokenness yearns to be healed. This brokenness yearns to be whole. This brokenness yearns to be something more than it is right now. This brokenness will fill itself with anything it can grab a hold of. Anything that feels good for a moment. Anything that makes me think I'm going to be okay. This brokenness screams, feed me, feed me, feed me. And it thirsts all the same. This brokenness is humanity's fallen hearts. Humanity's fallen soul. Humanity's separation from a God who made them beautiful. And so Jesus Christ came to meet this brokenness. He came to speak into this place. And He came to this planet that we live upon, that He created. And He shared the love that He had to give. And He shared that He wants to be family. And He shared that He wants to be more than just a physical brother, than just a physical father. But He wants to be the creator of all that you need and know. And so He offered Himself through sacrifice on a cross. He exchanged Himself so that you could be in a restored relationship with the One who brings life and love. And so that brokenness, that thirst, that void, that thing that keeps you acting out could be healed and made new forever and ever. Jesus Christ came and He paid that price for you and for me. And He restored that broken relationship for you and for me. And he said, no longer will anyone have to be alone when they can be a part of a spiritual family. If you've never heard the proclamation I just made, if you have never accepted the story of Christ as your Savior, if you were tired of being thirsty and tired of being hungry, if you were tired of searching for accomplishing enough, if you were tired of pretending that you're just going to be good enough, if you're tired of walking out your life in a way that falls short time and time again, then today I want to offer you the love of Jesus. And so I'm going to ask every head here to bow and every eye to close. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now to say in your heart, you don't have to say it out loud, to say, Heavenly Father, it's me. I need more than what I've been searching for. I can feel that there's something in this message that's true. So I ask your forgiveness for my self-sustaining lifestyle, for my poor choices, and for my sin. I accept that you filled that void, that thirst, that brokenness. I ask that you would come into my heart, fill me with your satisfaction, with your love. Give me a new step, give me a new hope, give me healing, Lord, for the brokenness that tries to overtake me every day and night. Bring light and life into my world. Heavenly Father, there are so many people here with so many stories that have walked so many paths. People, Lord, that when I say the word family, immediately have a picture that is so much different than the one you had hoped it would be. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place, that there would not be a person in this room who would not leave here feeling fully accepted by the spiritual family that you have built for them. Lord, may there be marriages here who can commit to the spiritual side of the family. May there be parents here, Lord, who can commit to the spiritual part of family. May there be children here, Lord, who can commit to being spiritually engaged in the family. May there be healing. May there be renewal. May we as a church body better highlight this thing that you put inside creation, that you mandated, that you built, that you designed. May we feel, Lord, love and acceptance and purpose alongside our brothers and sisters with you as our Father, as our Creator, and as our guide. We lift you, Lord. We lift your name and we lift your purpose. And everybody said, Amen.